The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. What is behind the growing breakdown of authority in our society today? Why is this happening? In just about any area of our lives, in whatever country we live in, we see a growing trend toward the resentment of all authority. Just look in the schools, for instance. When you see the typical schools of today in the classrooms, in the hallways, in the gymnasiums, you see rebellion and outright disrespect by students toward their teachers and toward the administration of the school. Not everyone is that way, and not every school is like that, and not every student shows this disrespect. But it is a growing trend of contempt for any kind of authority in the schools of our land today. Now, if this continues, let's say in the classroom, where the teacher is trying to instruct the students on any subject, and there's disruption, there's sassing back, there's confrontation, there's lack of cooperation, how can anything be taught in that classroom? Everyone loses when this takes place. And then when the administration tries to do something about it, they set themselves up for big trouble from other facets of society, like the ACLU or parents who come and get on their case for trying to bring their children around in the classroom so the subject can be properly taught by the teacher. Good students get cheated out of a top-notch education where this is taking place. You see dangerous situations at schools today because of this breakdown of authority. People are violent toward other people, and nobody steps in and stops it and properly disciplines and punishes the perpetrators of these violent acts. And so it gets increasingly dangerous in all too many schools in our country today because of this disintegration of proper respect. Look at the community at large. You know very well, if you really consider it carefully, there is a growing contempt for the police, for instance. There's an attitude of trying to get away with breaking the law whenever possible. Never mind speeding laws. Exceed the speed limit if you can get away with it. Illegal parking. So what? If you can park there and not get a ticket, park there. And if you do get a ticket, then you can curse the policeman out, or you can try to get out of paying the ticket for parking in the wrong place. In many, many large cities, or even in smaller ones and in communities that seem peaceful, you'll find petty crimes going on. You'll find more serious crimes like assault and robbery. And you'll even hear, of course, on a regular basis, of gruesome murders that take place. Lawbreakers that are just out of control. And then when the police try to move in and solve the crime or prevent the crime or enforce the laws that will prevent such actions, they are subjected to outright hate, name-calling, and even violence all too often. The same applies to the civic authorities, such as the mayor and city hall. There's just this underlying and growing attitude of complete disregard for any form of authority. And it's worse than it's ever been. No cooperation in our cities and towns and communities, no cooperation with constituted authority or with duly ratified laws by more and more people. There are still some who are law-abiding citizens. There are still some who really do respect and appreciate those in positions of authority. But they're becoming harder and harder to find. Taken to the ultimate outcome, this attitude toward disobeying and disregarding authority and application of laws will result in anarchy. Now just think about this. Let's say in the town or community or city where you live, all of a sudden, all of the police decided, we're just going to park the cars and go home and we're not going to get out and do our job. What would happen where you live if there were no policemen or policewomen? If there were no laws that were enforced? You know as well as I do, it wouldn't take long until there would be complete out of control, violence, looting, robbery, thugs that would take over the streets and take over the community. because there's no one to prevent them from doing it. So we must have authorities. We must have authority that is applied. We must have laws. Well, since we must have those things in order to have a peaceful and orderly place to live, why then is this resentment toward authority taking place? Where does that come from? Take a look at where we work, the workplace, on the job. If we're honest and we really face facts, we will see an underlying resistance toward our supervisors and bosses where we work by a number of people. They like to foment strife and undercut the leadership and authority of those in charge. They will band together with others and begin to maneuver in politic to gain advantage and power. Not everybody on the job does that. There are some people who go to work, they appreciate the boss, they appreciate the supervisor, they're thankful for the job, and they cooperate with fellow workers, and they are team players. And tremendous things can happen when that takes place. But when you really take a look at those who come to work and do not have that attitude, but rather they just simply resist and resent any form of direction or leadership, it causes problems for everybody. It begins to spread. It's like an infection. It causes confusion and it hampers production and progress. And this happens on work sites, in the offices. This happens in big companies. Where does that attitude of confrontation and rebellion toward any kind of authority or anyone who is in a position of authority, where does that attitude come from? Take a look at sports. We could go through so many facets of our society today. We're only covering a few, but just take a look at sports. Sports should be fun. Sports should be full of enjoyment and excitement. We should learn lessons from sports. We should be able to relax. Everybody there should have a wonderful, joyful time. Well, can you tell me where you can go today and watch any kind of sport or participate in any kind of sport and find that attitude of peace and joy and happiness and excitement and everybody cooperating with everybody else? It's very, very rare. Coaches, referees, umpires, they're ridiculed, they're cursed out, they're even subjected to violence and injury because of the calls they must make and the decisions that they have to implement in doing their job. You see it all the time if you watch sports on television. Referees in football games or on basketball courts, umpires in baseball games, or even rules authorities that are called in to make a judgment regarding a golf shot. They're not appreciated. They're not upheld with respect. There's a resentment there. What can I get away with? Why did you make that call? Why did you blow the whistle then? Why are you not letting our team get away with this? And the coaches, sometimes from the sidelines, will foment this kind of thing toward the authorities on the field. But then, sometimes from the stands, parents or onlookers will attack the coach for some call that he's made or some play that he's sent into the game. There's just a breakdown of authority throughout sports nowadays. Do what you can do to get away with whatever you can get away with in order to gain the advantage and to win the game, no matter what it takes. What if we just did away with all rules in sports? Let's just drop all of them. Let's just say there's not going to be any referees at a basketball game. Players just get out there and start playing. You know what would happen. There's not going to be any umpires in a baseball game. Just everybody gets out there and team one plays team two and may the best team win. Any sport you want to look at, if you do away with the rules and you take out any kind of authority figures that keep the game moving along, any game or sport you want to look at would quickly be dismantled into mayhem and confusion. It would even result in violence in most cases and people getting hurt. There would be no sportsmanship. There would be no teamwork. There would be no fun or appreciation. And yet we resent that authority. Once again, not everybody does, but a growing number do. Why is this sorry state of affairs taking place? Why is proper authority being subjected to unprecedented attack and erosion? Let's look at one other area of our society today, which is the most important component of any successful and thriving society, and that is the home. Actually, this is where all of this disrespect for authority begins. This is where it is perpetrated. When you really carefully take a look at what's happening in the homes and families of the Western world and even of any other place in the world, but in particular in the Western world and in the United States of America, you will see a growing disdain for authority in the home by the parents. Parents that gripe and complain toward their bosses, that brag about getting away without being caught by policemen. Parents that put down and make fun of and curse out the President of the United States or other authorities in positions in our society today who have the responsibility of carrying out the enforcement of laws and order. Now, when the children see parents acting that way at home, in the car, or wherever they are around their parents, this example gets inculcated into the thinking of the children. And that's how the children begin to act and react. Parents confronting teachers, or parents that undercut the authority figures in the life of their children, such as school bus drivers and coaches and teachers. Well, the children are going to start feeling the same way that the parents do and start doing what the parents do regarding authority and regarding leadership and regarding laws and rules. So you see, parents that have a disdain for authority and authority figures, and they talk about this and act in a rebellious way, and their children pick up on this from them. You also see parents who do not exercise proper authority when they should in their home. They do not require their children to obey and cooperate with their leadership and guidelines. In many cases, they have no leadership and no guidelines. But for those who do try to have leadership and guidelines in the home, they will not follow through and require their children from birth to follow those guidelines and to respect their leadership. Therefore, the outcome is obvious and predictable in the lives of those children. They're going to grow up to be rebellious and resentful toward any and all kind of authority, and a whole generation takes on that persona. And that attitude becomes all pervasive from top to bottom throughout any society and nation where that takes place. Do you know the Bible said this would happen? The Bible predicted and prophesied this very state of affairs of hate, resentment, rebellion, and resistance toward any form of authority. And it was mentioned in the Bible in several places. We'll turn to just one. Let's notice 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. This is talking about a unique time in history, the last days. There's only one period of time that can be referred to as the last days, and we're living in those last days now. And look at this prophecy and what it says would be taking place in the last days, and in particular in this matter of the attitude that will pervade throughout society toward authority. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Where'd they learn that? Well, they learned it starting at home and then in various aspects of society. School pride, team pride, self-pride, self-indulgence, self-absorption. They learn it from the icons and idols of entertainment and of celebrity. They'll be lovers of their own selves, but it starts and is perpetuated at home. It's allowed there. It's either perpetuated or it is allowed there. Parents are not fully engaged in preventing this from happening in their little children from birth on through until they become adults. Covetous, money lovers, boasters, bragging about themselves, their appearance, their intelligence, the competition toward others and how much better they are and how they can beat others in so many different things. That all is traceable right back to parenting and to home. Proud, blasphemers. Look at this. Disobedient to parents. Now, when a little baby is born, they're not disobedient to parents. They learn that behavior. They're allowed to get away with that. Either the parents don't care, or the parents themselves are rebellious, or the parents mean well, but don't know how to prevent this attitude from setting in, or they're not diligent to keep it from setting in. Disobedient to parents. That's just resentment toward authority. Unthankful, unholy, look at verse 3, without natural affection. That milk of human kindness, that love toward fellow man, that respect toward others, that courteous, mannerly attitude toward the elderly or toward adults or toward their fellow human beings. That has to be taught and enforced and required at home. And then it gets inculcated into the character of the child, and then they grow up as human beings having that approach toward others and toward people in authority. But it has to be taught and required at home. Otherwise, it will not be there in the life of that child, certainly not to the extent that it should be. Without natural affection, truce breakers, they simply won't keep their word. False accusers, slanderers, incontinent, they have no self-control, fierce, brutal, violent, glorifying violence in movies and in music and in sports. That's what's happening today. And it's allowed in the lives of the children by the parents at home. And then as they leave home to go to school or engage in sports, it's allowed there by the parents. And so then you have a whole generation that views violence as noble and good and right when it needs to take place, in their opinion. And so it's resorted to solve arguments, to solve problems, to gain the advantage, to become the best player, because you can do more violence to the opponent than the other guy can. First thing you know, it carries over into the approach that child will have toward authority. You don't tell me what to do, I'll beat you up. You're not big enough to make me do that. Instead of respecting the position the person is in, be it the coach, the referee, or the teacher, or the boss, or the policeman. Despisers of those that are good. Some young people are trying to do the right thing today. They're trying to be moral and chaste and upright and pleasant and law-abiding. And more they're ridiculed, made fun of, and called all kind of disparaging names. Well, thankfully there are some young people who have the character to disregard that kind of stupidity and go ahead and do the right thing anyway. But why does that even take place, and why is it epidemic? Because of a breakdown of authority and the application of authority in the home. That's why. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, is like reading the front page of the newspaper in describing our world today. There is a breakdown in the values and standards and the approach of proper relations among human beings today. There are still some who are trying to teach and follow and perpetuate the right kind of ethics and the right kind of principles, but they're being overwhelmed, outflanked, and outnumbered by those who are breaking all those values and ethics down. And it has to do with a core resentment toward any form of authority and any form of proper laws. Why is this insatiable, unstoppable tidal wave of overthrowing and overriding and overruling authority happening? Why? Why does this take place? Why is this prophecy of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5 being fulfilled right before our very eyes? Well, every evil listed here in this passage of Scripture can be traced right back to the home and then to the ensuing breakdown of properly applied authority in all facets of our society. Now, of course, there is abuse of authority by some, and that's unconscionable. But there are ways to deal with that and get that taken care of, and that's not the overwhelming trend taking place today. Most people in offices and in positions of authority are trying to do their job, and those who aren't can be dealt with. But we still must respect that position. We must respect that authority that's legally there, and we must cooperate with it unless those authorities and those laws are taking us in a direction that contradicts God's word and disobeys Almighty God. And the abuses of that authority, that's not the problem. That is a problem, but that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is widespread resentment toward any authority by more and more people. When you look into the cause and solution of this problem, you can always trace it right back to the home and family. That's where it incubates and then hatches and then mushrooms out of control. And that is right where this cycle must be turned around. You can't turn it around anyplace else. You can't abdicate the responsibility that you have as a parent to the teacher or to the coach or to the policeman or to the counselor. Now, they can help and they have their part in your child's life. But the fundamental responsibility of what kind of child you have and of how they're going to turn out as adults rests solely in your hands as the parent in the home. And if we apply proper principles in the home as parents and require those principles of our children, this cycle of resentment and of resistance toward any kind of authority can be turned around. And that's the only place it can be turned around, in the home and by the parents. Others can help the process, but the fundamental turning around and breaking this cycle of rebellion can only start and be put on the proper course at home by the parents. Let's turn to one other scripture over here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. We see here the principle of obedience, which is the opposite to rebellion. And it says here in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Did you notice that? It says here that if we keep the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and your mother, we're going to be blessed. It's going to work out well. It will even lengthen our days. Now, is that fifth commandment being taught in the homes of our society today? Is it being upheld? Is it being required? Is it being applied? How many parents honor their parents? How many children see their parents honoring their parents or the grandparents of the children? Do they see respect? Do they see appreciation? Do they see communication? Do they see their parents in touch with their mother and father, doing things for them, calling them, sending them cards, holding them up with great esteem, and requiring the children to conduct themselves properly toward the grandparents? If that's what they see in the home where they live, those children will be learning that attitude, that approach, and that practice. It'll become a part of their character. And that's how they'll begin to relate to authority. When they are required to honor their father and mother, they're on the road toward understanding the right approach toward proper authority, and they will begin to realize it works. Of course, sometimes there will be some resentment. Of course, sometimes there will be some resistance. That's human nature, but that can be overcome. And the fundamental appreciation and love and honor and respect toward mom and dad in the home will carry over toward appreciating and respecting the school bus driver, the teacher, the coach, the principal, the policeman, and the boss. And you know what? It even carries over further than that. It will carry over into their love and respect toward God the Father in heaven. But it starts with keeping the fifth commandment. Now, if parents are abusing their children or misleading their children, no, that's not right. And that should be dealt with. But parents who make honest mistakes, but overall they're really trying to do the right thing, and they're trying to properly care for their children, educate their children, lead their children, and teach their children to cooperate and follow the rules and respect those in charge, they're keeping the fifth commandment, and they're teaching their children to keep the fifth commandment. So when this attitude and this approach is followed by parents and then is taught to their children, the tremendous blessings and the tremendous benefits that will flow to that family are almost incalculable. And it carries over into all facets of life. Just keep reading here. Notice verse 4. "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And so here you have a loving parent carrying out his responsibility as a father and carrying out her responsibility as a mother, and the results will be wonderful. "Servants or employees, be obedient to them that are your bosses according to the flesh, with fear and trembling or respect, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ." See how it carries over? It first started with honoring father and mother. Now it comes with honoring the boss. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Notice verse 9, and you bosses, you masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And so this matter of respect goes up, but it also comes down. But it's learned in the home, and it's taught by the parents. And the example has to be set by mother and father. And the children then will pick up on it from birth, and they will begin to understand the concept and principle and requirement of appreciating and cooperating and submitting to proper authority and to proper constituted law. And then you have order, not confusion. And then you have prosperity, not decay. And then you have peace, not anarchy. There must be laws, there must be authority, and there must be cooperation with those laws and authority. And those laws must be for the good of everyone, and those in positions of authority must exercise that authority with love and respect and due diligence. But fundamentally, there must be a turnaround in the attitude toward authority. And that turnaround must start in the home from the parents with educating the children. So let's take a look at the situation we see happening around us in this matter of respect toward authority and do what we can do as a committee of one in our own lives, in our own homes, to reverse the cycle of rebellion and resentment toward authority to appreciation and cooperation with authority, and you'd be surprised how much good we can do. And if it's not going to be widespread, at least it'll be in our home, among our family, with our children, which will go a long way toward them being happy and successful. Would you like to know more about happiness and success in life? Call for our CDs on true success. You'll discover that there is a cause for every effect. What is the cause of real happiness and true success in life, in the family, at school, and on the job? You'll find the reasons why some people succeed and some people do not. They end up being failures. You'll learn what to do to bring about true success in your life. Just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Also, we would like to invite you to request a free subscription to our magazine entitled Straightforward, and we'll mail that to you as well. There's no charge or subscription price. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.